बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नाउ वी आर इन वर्स नंबर 34, 33 वी फिनिश्ड द मॉर्निंग। The beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam is it brings out the both the lower nature and the higher nature of different personalities. Like the younger brother and elder brother example we were talking in the morning, isn't it? So, if you are elder brother, how you should behave? If you are younger brother, what naughtiness we have? Both we can know. Of course, in some cases we may behave like younger brother. Some cases we will be demanded to behave like elder brother. Correct, no? By our superiors. So, we should not assume that I am like Prithu Maharaj only. That is one of the common fallacies. While learning Bhagavatam, generally the living entities would like to put them in the best role. You know? Correct? No? So, at the same time, I won't say that you may not have any of the qualities of Prithu Maharaj, because we are all Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas naturally have some good qualities, surely. But I consider that our situation is somewhere in between Indra and Prithu. And if we have to check, if Indra tendencies are very strong, Indra tendency means insecurity. It's a insecurity means scarcity mentality. Which means if scarcity mentality leads to thinking that, like for example, like a dog got the coconut, you know. He could not open the coconut himself. And somebody suggested him, I'll open and give you. You give me coconut water and you take the coconut. Dog said, nothing doing. I know what to do. You get lost. Because he was afraid that the other fellow will eat away the coconut and go away. And he also couldn't open it ever. He was just biting the fiber outside. Similarly, you will find for people who are insecure, it will be very difficult for them to share anything. They can't share prasad, they can't share a place, they can't share. Insecurity is actually a... Like Duryodhana had a... is a first class example of insecurity. When Duryodhana went to the Maya Sabha palace, he saw that, you know, it's too attractive. He was feeling very greatly pained that someone like me should be living here. How is it that the Pandavas are living and Yudhishthira Maharaj is leading, staying here? It is such an attractive palace. At that time he saw that Pandavas' opulence was so great. All over the world, people, kings came and gave them so many gifts. So he was in charge of the treasury, receiving the gifts and all. So one of the days when he was there, suddenly he developed a desire to display his greatness. So he took a sword in his hand. And along with, flanked by another 4 or 5 more soldiers along with him, he walked into the Maya Sabha. So Jiva Goswami in his commentary, this I read in 10th canto commentary, he says that for each of the behavior of Duryodhana, he talks about insecurity. Why he was holding the sword, Duryodhana? Because he wanted to tell everybody that, you know, I am king. I am king and I am holding the sword and I have power. Don't think only Yudhishthira is king. So therefore he was holding the sword. And why was he flanked by a few people, 4 or 5 people around him when he was walking? He wanted to show that I am not alone. I have my followers. If you have, Yudhishthira has his followers and many people, then I have my followers also. And then he kept himself very erect and straight, and he entered the palace to show that, you know, just because you all have such a great palace and so much opulences, that doesn't make me, you know, insignificant or small. I am very great. Like that he walked, tack, tack, keeping himself straight. Therefore he remained straight. But then when he walked straight, he fell into the water inside, because there was a, which appeared like a mirror floor, but he fell into the water. So, at that time, Draupadi giggled and, you know, it became a scene. Correct, no? So there Yogaswami says that the number one tendency of an insecure person is to always compare himself with others. That's a bad habit. So this is the first thing we should try to give up in our life. We should think that everybody can be success. Why should only, if he is success, I am failure. Or if I am successful, he is failed. Why should we always make unhealthy comparison like that? Always think that sarve janaha sukhino bhavantu, sarve santu niramaya, sarve badrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhavavet. One example I'll tell you of a person who is not insecure. When Yudhishthira Maharaj returned back to from the forest after 12 years, as soon as he came back to the kingdom, he saw that the people were all very happy. People were celebrating festivals and their homes were decorated. There were flags and festoons everywhere and there were music going on. So Yudhishthira Maharaj turned to his brothers and said, it seems that Duryodhana has ruled the praja very well. And then he even asked Krishna, Krishna, do you really think we should go back and ask for our kingdom? Because ultimately the purpose of a king is to make the praja happy and prosperous. If Duryodhana is able to keep them happy and prosperous, you know, is it necessary for me to go and claim my kingdom? See, this is the heart of who? Yudhishthira Maharaj. Absolutely, you know, not insecure. Completely secure. Because, you know, he is so fixed in the goal of a king. The king's duty is to make the praja happy. Whether he makes happy or I make happy, the praja should be happy. Correct, na? That was his goal. So, Krishna told, praja appears happy, but they are not happy. Because Duryodhana came to know that the 12 years is going to end now. Because you will come back now. Therefore, he has pampered them like anything. Sometimes you pamper someone to make sure that, you know, the person will stay. Sometimes. So, similarly, the people are also pampered with the blankets and jewelry, gold and cows, and in charity, abundant charity has been given. Duryodhana basically was giving over charity. That is also a sign of? Yeah, correct. <no? laughs> That is also another type of insecurity. Why? Because he thought that if I pamper them, they will all say that I am better. Correct, no? I am better and Yudhishthira is inferior. Just see. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, actually, therefore Yudhishthira didn't want the kingdom. Who wanted Yudhishthira to have the kingdom? Krishna wanted. You can see that. So this is one lesson we can take from this chapter. How do I know whether I have insecurity? One of the first symptoms I told you, I will always make a comparison with other people. Do I compare? That's the first thing we have to ask. And if I don't compare, see, there is something called as enemy-centeredness. Enemy-centeredness means what? Small children have it in big proportion. Like if a small boy is playing outside, like even Yashoda uses this. When she goes to Krishna, you know, she is telling, hey, Kanan, Krishna, look at all the other boys. See, all this, I can show you that verse. See, she, what she is saying here. Pashya pashya vayasyamste matramrishtan svalankritan tonchasnata krithaharo vigarasva svalankritaha. She is telling here, just see Krishna, pashya pashya, how all your playmates of your own age have been cleansed and decorated with beautiful ornaments by their mothers. You should come here. And after you have taken your bath, eaten your lunch, and been decorated with ornaments, you may play with your friends again. So, small children, you know, you tell him, hey, look at the child, and sometimes mothers do this. Beta, good boys wear clean dress, mother will say like that. Then the boy immediately will run inside, wear a clean dress and come. Mom, I am wearing a clean dress. What do you say now? Huh? And mom will say, good boy. So that is explained in the purport here. See here what he says. Generally, generally young boys are competitive. It's coming there? Yeah. If one friend has done something, another friend also wants to do something. Same thing. Therefore, Mother Yashoda pointed out Krishna's playmates were decorated so that Krishna might be induced to decorate himself like them. So, in this way, now small children, you know, there is nothing like, you know, it's not like envy or insecurity or competition among small children. They just want to earn a good name from the teacher or the mother. But when one grows big, if the quality of unhealthy comparison comes, which is insecurity, unhealthy comparison, you know, that means if somebody else succeeds, I fail. If I succeed, they fail, like that. So that's the first thing I told you. Second thing I told you was fear. Fear to see someone flourishing. That's another symptom of insecurity. And another thing I told you was scarcity mentality. There is not enough for everybody to succeed. Which means, you know, if I succeed, he has to fail, or if he succeeds, I have to fail. You know, only one out of the two can succeed. We both cannot succeed. So there is no tendency to share and enjoy. So, but you will find Yudhishthira Maharaj told Bhima and Arjuna to save Duryodhana when he was under the trouble with Gandharvas also. Yudhishthira never said that let Gandharvas capture Duryodhana and take him to their Gandharva Loka or arrest him. He didn't say that. So actually it's very nice in Mahabharata to compare Yudhishthira Maharaj and Duryodhana and learn a lot of valuable lessons to avoid insecurity. Now here another very, very vital philosophical point is coming now. The 13th theme, 34th verse. This is extraordinary. In this entire chapter, I would consider this as the highlight point. This one, the 34th verse. Masmin Maharaja Kritasma Chintam Nijamayasmat Vacha Adritatma Yadhyayato Daivahatam Nakartum Mano Tirushtam Vishate Tamondham. Yeah.
My dear King, do not be agitated and anxious because your sacrifices have not been properly executed due to providential impediments. Kindly take my words with great respect. We should always remember that if something happens by providential arrangement,
you know, providential, no? Providential means by fate or destiny. Yeah.
By providential arrangement, we should not be very sorry. The more we try to rectify such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest region of materialistic thought.
Yeah. So the last line says, Mano ati rushtam vishate tamondam. He's saying. That means if something happens in our life, arranged by destiny, and we are unable to digest it. How can this happen to me? And we become extremely angry and we try to counteract it. And the more we try to counteract it, the problem becomes complicated. More complicated. Therefore, he says, Vishate tamo andham. One enters into more and more darkness. Like that he says. Now we'll read the purport and then discuss. Read the purport.
Sometimes the saintly or very religious person also has to meet with reversals in life. Such incidents should be taken as providential. Although there may be sufficient cause for being unhappy, one should avoid counteracting such reversals. For the more we become implicated in rectifying such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest regions of material anxiety. Lord Krishna has also advised us in this connection. We should tolerate things instead of becoming agitated.
One thing we all should know in this world, even if one is a success after success after success, even the most successful people in this world will face some defeat sometime or the other. And for successful people, for the first time to face a defeat is extremely painful. Because in a game also, you will see the losing party loses lot of lessons. They learn lot of lessons, they learn. But the winning party gets intoxicated many times. It goes to their head. So sometimes losing party, you know, becomes humble. They come to their senses and then they wonder, how did we lose the match? How did we lose the game? They learn. But if a person has been winning 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times like that, suddenly he faces failure, you know, then it becomes like a shock. He is unable to, and that's what happened with Gajendra. He has been a great king. In that Gajendra Moksha, it is explained, he had a great prestige. What is prestige? That smaller animals always lived in other part of the jungle. They never even showed their face in front of him. That is prestige. And he had a great status. What is his status? Even lions and tigers and others, they were not king of the forest. He was king of the forest. And also he, by his mercy, the smaller creatures were living in another part of the jungle. And while walking, he was dripping, honey from his mouth. And he was picking up things and tearing things and throwing. Very proudly he was walking. But when he entered the waters, when he was caught by a crocodile, he could not believe it. He just couldn't believe that anybody can capture him like that and defeat him. Until it took some time for him to recognize that I can be dragged into water by this crocodile and my no relatives, friends, nobody can help me. And now, then he cried at that time. Then he looked up at the sky and sought help and everything. So, when one, generally in this world, when things don't go our way, we try to set it right. Correct, no? But you will see that even after our endeavor to set it right, still again the things go the same way. Again you try to set it right. Then at that time one should know certain things happen because of providence. Or there is a Lord's will is different than ours. We can accept it and learn to live with it. That is what is said here. If you don't learn to live with it, the more you struggle. One example can be said. For example, say two devotees are talking to each other. While talking, one devotee said one thing, another devotee misunderstood, for example. So this devotee tried to clarify with him, and that endeavor to clarify became even more complicated, and he misunderstood doubly. Correct, no? Then this devotee decided to write a 10-page mail to him, clarifying the whole matter from beginning to end. Is it good? When you do that, the problem becomes even more multiply complicated. And many times in the email, when you write back and forth, people will not even understand what you are trying to say. Correct, no? Things can become extremely complicated. So I saw once in our Kunjaberi temple kitchen, there was a jute knot, One kitten somehow got it and he was wondering, what is this? When he tore it with his mouth, then the jute got loosened. And suddenly he got frightened, seeing that it is becoming long like a snake. Then he wanted to run away. You remember, what is Dabha formula? Generally, the living entity denies first. Whenever something happens against his will, what is the first thing what he does? He says, oh, impossible. You cannot do this with me. Then if a denial doesn't work, then he learns to adjust. Then he learns to adjust. He says that, at least can you, adjust this much? You are not agreeing for this. At least can you adjust for this much? That is adjust. But if adjust also doesn't work, then he goes for bargain. Then he bargains, really? Only this much? Then he bargains. He cries. And he tries to bargain with his fullest ability. And when that also doesn't work, then he comes to the platform of acceptance. Okay, now I have to live with this. For example, say, somebody gets a disease or something like that. Or somebody gets a fracture. We all generally think that, like I got a fracture in the leg. First thing what you will desire, you deny that, I have been a cricket player and everything, and I cannot get a fracture. People say that you are unable to get up, your leg is swollen, that means there must be some fracture. So when he goes to hospital, what will be his prayer? There's nothing fracture, little bit I got swollen, that's also denial. No, I am not fractured. And people say, you seem to be little limping. No, I can walk. Then the second stage is what? Adjust means what? Okay, if it is hairline fracture, it is all right. Click a photo, that x-ray, take an X-ray and then I'll check if it is. And then when he comes to know that, and then doctor says, no, it's a serious fracture, huh? Or something like that. Doctor says, you may have to change the leg or something, wooden leg or something. Oh, that is too serious. Then he bargains, no, doctor, don't go for wooden leg. Can't I have the regular leg? Can you repair it? We can spend more money, or I'll go to America and repair it also if need be. So he bargained like that. And then finally, what do you come for? Acceptance. So this is a physical example. In the same manner, we can tell a psychological example also. There are examples available. You can quote from Shastra. Let us see who quotes. Anybody can say? Who is the person first to deny it? Then afterwards he adjusted. Then he bargained. And then he learned to accept whatever. No other way he accepted. Any example you can give. But providence. Yes. Give the mic to him. Yeah. He is telling the example of Priyavrat. First Priyavrat denied that I will not take up Grihastha Ashram. First he denied, isn't it? Then he, of course, he denied very politely to Swayambhava Manu. And then there was no question of adjustment or bargain there. With Brahma he didn't bargain because Brahma is very big. With Swayambhava Manu he did little bargaining. Politely refused. Brahma was too big to bargain. He just accepted. Directly came to accept. Any other example? Yeah. Kashyapa Muni and Diti. What happened? He is saying that Kashyapa succumbing to Diti's proposal to unite in the evening. He is saying that first Kashyapa denied and then he adjusted by speaking sweet words to her. Then he bargained with her that wait for some time and finally he accepted it as a fate. He accepted. That comes there. It comes in that particular place. Correct. Yeah. Yes. Dhritarashtra, what he said? First he could not believe that his 100 sons can be killed. He denied. You know. Pandava. What then? Mamaka. Pandava she asked. But then he denied. But then although he was denying, he saw that still they were all killed. Then he thought, okay, now I will adjust and live without my sons. Yudhishthira Maharaj is giving me respect. So I will stay with him. He still treats me as if I am a king only. So he adjusted and lived. And then what happened after that? Did he bargain any time? When Vidura came, he exposed him. He exposed his actual situation. And then because he came to the platform of acceptance, then he went in a positive spiritual direction. Correct, no? He went to the jungle because Vidura gave his this thing. But here what we are talking is, in our life, the acceptance that I am talking about is actually a very good type of acceptance. What it says, sometimes certain things are in a certain way only. You cannot change them. And if you try to repeatedly endeavor to change them, you will get mentally disturbed, physically too much hard worked, and you cannot change it. You have to learn to accept. Acceptance. One of the acceptance I'll tell you, in case in your life, you have some 10 people with whom you work. Say one of them is extremely irritable personality. You have to work with. So you have to accept it as providence. And that person is one person whom you have to see every day also. And you have to talk. So you can think of somebody. So what you can do, when you know that it is providence, this person has certain swabhav with which he has come from the Purva Janam. He has brought a certain type of swabhav. And I can't change him. And let me find out when all he gets irritated with me, let me note down. And then let me try to behave as nicely as possible. But still he may get irritated. Correct? No? It may be. So someone has to live with them. Correct? No? Similarly, somebody working with you is very slow. And you have told several times. And they also know you have told. And you ask them also, Prabhu, what are the corrections I gave you? 4 corrections I have given you. Can you tell me? And then he will tell you all the 4 he will tell you. Exactly. Only thing is he cannot apply them. So what he will do? He says that you have to accept it as providence. See, if you accept it as providence, you can love that person. You can deal with that person. Therefore, you will find Prithu Maharaj is going to embrace Indra later on. You will see. How he can embrace? Because he was able to accept it. And Brahma says, if you don't accept it, acceptance actually comes from tolerance, patience, compassion, sympathy for the different living entities. And then seeing them as Lord's children, seeing them as my own brother and sister. They are all like our parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. By all these things, the end result of all this understanding is acceptance. When we have acceptance, then that acceptance keeps our mind peaceful. Like for example, somebody wants to sing a beautiful tune with a very nice harmonium. They want to keep the entire crowd of devotees happy. Only problem is they don't know how to sing. Because some people are gifted with, you know, good throat to sing. Some people may not be able to sing. Then he can accept that fact and empower one very nice devotee singer. Kavji, call some Amal Kirtan Poo or somebody. And then he sings and all the audience is clapping hands and enjoying. Then you also enjoy along with them. Hare Bol, what a wonderful Kirtan. This is called acceptance. You understand, no? But if somebody says, no, I cannot accept it. Of course, you can learn Kirtan. Our Balagovind Prabhu's very nice department we have. You know, you can learn Mridangam, Kartal, Kirtan and all. But to learn singing also requires some basic, what do you call it? Some amount of raga, tala, swara. Correct, na? Correct, na? We may not be a cuckoo. But so, certain areas we have to accept. That these areas, by will of providence, Lord has created me in a certain way, I will accept it. So if this acceptance is there, you will not be frustrated. That's what he is saying. But if acceptance is not there, we will repeatedly endeavor and we will hurt ourselves and hurt many and we will suffer. Is that clear? Point clear? Yes, Kriti Krishna, you had a question? Yes, example. Avanti Brahman had acceptance. I was looking for that example only. One Haribol father example. That is coming in 11th canto. Although Avanti Brahman was from a very rich family, he was a conjuice. He didn't spend the money at all for the family people. And then at one point of time, everybody saw that, you know, he is stocking money, he is not spending at all. They all wanted to spend the money and they drove him out of the house. And he was mistreated by so many people. He became from a billionaire to a beggar. And he accepted it as will of providence. Same with Vidura also, when he was quitting the palace. He understood it is providence that I have to quit the palace now. But he converted misfortune into good fortune very intelligently. Without endeavoring to set right situation. Imagine, Vidura could have told Dhritarashtra, my dear brother, just see what this your son is doing to me. Do you approve of this insult? And then let us call for a meeting of all the court leaders. That I will say that Duryodhana spoke against me like this. And is it appropriate? You should put your son behind the bars. At least put him for 3 months. He didn't say like that. He didn't fight for justice. Nor did he go out of the palace crying to people, Dekho mera kya ho gaya? Ye log ne kya kar diya? He didn't go and complain to anyone. Rather, he made a very sweet change in direction, taking shelter of the Lord. So, especially for devotees, one thing is very important. We should know that we are not independent of Krishna's plans for us. Krishna has also got many plans for us. We are every one of us, those who have started chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we are so dear to the Lord that Lord is constantly meditating on how to bring us to the highest platform. He is always thinking, this person is having this particular anartha and I will arrange some situation in his life. Exactly this anartha will be hit and he will be free from this anartha. And Lord only plans that. Somebody is a very punctual person, he will be given an assistant who is extremely slow. You know, and he will nicely get purified. You will see that. And every one of us, you will see, if you know your anartha, you are wonderful. If you don't know, it will be revealed to us eventually. And we will all come across people who are all Krishna-sent people because super soul is there in their heart. They will come and exactly find out that particular anartha. They may not find out, we will come to know how Krishna has arranged. And we'll get purified. Therefore, Krishna will see when acceptance comes in us, Krishna understands this fellow is mature now. He has become paripakva now. Acceptance has come. Therefore, he is saying, yes? Yes. Mano atirushtam vishate tamondham.
Praji, this, like you were quoting regarding health of devotees also. So, where should we draw the line? Means, where should we accept and where should we miss?
How much you can endeavor? Yeah. Oh, definitely, with regards to health, Prabhupada says, one should try to make one's health normal. One should try. But you will see that once when I met my spiritual master, you know, he was telling, I asked him, Maharaj, how is your health? I used to ask this question always. So sometimes he would say, better than I deserve. Like that he would say, better than what I deserve. See, by saying like this, he expressed his gratitude to Krishna that although my health is supposed to be totally pathetic, at least it is reasonable enough for me to live peacefully. So by saying this, you become grateful to the Lord, better than what I deserve. Sometimes he would say, one time when I went, I asked him, he said, my health is like hell, he said. And then I said, oh Maharaj, I am very sorry to come and disturb you. No, you continue talking, he would say. Then he asked me, do you want a hale and healthy body like Nalakkur Manigreev and do what they did? Or do you want a sickly body so that, you know, you cannot enjoy your body or enjoy your good health, but you are sickly, so your mind is running to Krishna's lotus feet. You know, what that was, like you may say that, you know, idam shariram parinama peshalam patatyavashyam shatasandhi jarjaram kim aushadim prachasi mooda durmate niramayam krishna rasayanam biba. You know what he says? This body has hundreds and thousands of joints, and all joints are paining. You know, knee is paining, if you set it right, back is paining. The different parts of the body are paining. Shatasandhi jarjaram kim aushadim, they are getting old and they are giving pain. Kim aushadim prachasi mooda durmate, what medicine in this world can cure all this problem? Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piba. Just bring this Krishna Rasayanam, which is the holy name of Krishna, holy Katha of Krishna, and then you put a permanent full stop to the material bodies. No more material body, no more misery. Like that he says. So from there only I got the word Krishna Rasayanam for my Sunday programs. So in this way, sometimes you continue taking medicine, but whatever pains will come, don't keep calling people, different people, and telling them our story about our body. You know, my doctor has told me I can eat this, I can't eat that. You know, I can eat banana, I can't eat orange. You know, morning he told me to eat this. So others will say, okay, Prabhuji, please relax yourself. You know, and I have so many other things to do. People will go. So we don't make a big lecture about our health. We take care of our health. So Prabhupada used one word: just do the. That's the right thing. Do then. Okay, you're doing yogasanas, somebody is seeing you, and then you will sit with them and explain 1 hour why I am doing yogasanas. Don't think, no, I want to become a hero or something. Doctor has told me, that's why I am doing yogasanas. You don't have to prove to anyone. Take care of the body as much as you need. Talk little about the body. Talk more about the soul. Just do the needful as a point. And here in situations, sometimes you will see that despite your sincerity and you know, your good heart, still even for good people also in this world, you know, bad things will happen. For example, take Anga Maharaj, for example. He was such a good soul. He was so polite and humble to the Brahmanas. He took permission from Brahmanas. Can I open my mouth and speak now? Brahmana said, yes, you can break your Manuvrat now and speak. He said, I am seeing all the demigods hovering in the sky. None of them are coming down. They are not accepting my Havishana, isn't it? Why are they not accepting in their palms? So Brahmanas checked and said, oh king, you know, you are actually asking for a son, but demigods have no ability to give you a son. Because in your previous janam, you have committed some sin, due to which you can't have son now. But in this lifetime, you are so pure-hearted, even with your mind also, you didn't do any sin. Can you imagine? What to speak of mouth, speech or body? You are so pure. So they said, so demigods cannot give you a son. If you want son, only one person can give. Who is that? Supreme Lord. Then he said, okay, I want a son. Let Supreme Lord give. And Lord was saying, really? Anga, you are so eager to have a son? You are my pure devotee. You are not supposed to have any such desire. Already I have written in your destiny that you are not supposed to have a son. You know the destiny. Why are you trying to work against your destiny? You just chant Krishna Rama Govinda, come back to me. Isn't it? You really want to have a son. Okay, don't worry. That's a little your own desire you have, which I will purify it. Don't worry. And then Lord gave him which son? When Vena came, You know, Vena was such an arty fellow, he would catch the children and throw them in the ocean, yeah? Or throw them in the well, and not small complaints, big complaints would come to father. And he tried to rectify the son with so much of endeavor, and the son was not getting rectified. And then the philosophy that Anga speaks is amazing. He says, every parent wants a good son. Good son is good in this world. Bad son is bad. But he says, now in my case I understood, bad son is better than a good son. He said. And his friends must have asked him, what are you talking? How can a bad son be better than a good son? He said, no, a good son may make us become attached to him. Whereas a bad son produces detachment. Now he developed detachment. So he came to the stage of acceptance. This is like Harshashoka also, you know. Chitraketu also came. So in this way, he is saying that, read the theme.
Not tolerating providential reverses, but counteracting it buries one's mind in darkness.
It buries our mind in ignorance. That's the lesson here. So in the case of Prithu, I will tell you with this example. Imagine Brahma is coming and telling Prithu, Prithu, don't fight with Indra. It's better for you to be a man who has performed 99 sacrifices. Be peaceful. Imagine if Prithu told that, you know, wait a minute. Do you know who committed the mistake? He is stealing the horse. Galat karne wale ko rectify nahin karte aap. Aur mujhe kyun bolte hain? Why are you telling me? I am doing 100 yajnas, and by the way, you know, I am a pure devotee. I am aiming at spiritual world. I am not aiming at Indra's post. Kindly explain this to Indra. You are a superior man. You are Brahma himself. Catch Indra, give him a tight slap, and tell him that this fellow is not after your post. Mind you, understand this. And then you peacefully go and sit in your Indraloka, in your throne. Nobody will occupy it. And Brahma can give a promise also. I promise you that Prithu will not be competing with you. Why don't you do that? Instead of telling me. And then Brahma says, no, 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 sorry, he still will not understand. Then he can tell Brahma, please kindly move aside. Now I have to catch him. Unless I finish this fellow, my mind cannot be peaceful. If Prithu did like that, he is acting on what platform? It will be an egoistic platform. And then there will be a war between Indra and Prithu. Prithu will get his army, and Indra will call all the demigods. Varuna will come with his noose. Indra will come with his thunderbolt. And all the Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, Agni, all the big host of demigods will come, you know, to attack Prithu. And there will be a war between the humans and the demigods, isn't it? And of course, Prithu is a very great king. There will be a big war between the two. Maybe in the war, in case he killed Indra, for example, do you think Vishnu will be pleased? Yeah. Well, Vishnu will come to fire Prithu. Yeah. What have you done? You waged a big war against Indra. Indra is doing so much work for me. Now you killed the leader. What will happen to the other demigods? Now asuras are coming and occupying the post in the heavens. So Brahma is unhappy. Vishnu is unhappy. Demigods are unhappy. And all these praja are all wondering what is going to happen now. What punishment our king is going to get. So do you agree that the matter is becoming complicated? If he acted independently. Similarly with Dhruva also. Dhruva lost his brother. But who killed my brother? One yaksha killed my brother? I will go and find out that yaksha. He asked all the yakshas, tell me, who is that one yaksha who killed my brother? Do you think yakshas will bring him in the front? See, yakshas would have certainly kept him deep inside somewhere, protected him, because they know that otherwise Dhruva will kill. Then yakshas waged a war. I mean, he waged a war against them. And as he went on fighting with them, in the frenzy, we call it frenzy of the fight, you know, when Kshatriya sees blood, he becomes even more aggravated. So he wanted to wipe out the race of yakshas. That was actually because he was pursuing his expectation without any superior guidance. Therefore, he was entering into darkness. Who? Tamogunam means what? Tamoguna. Anger begins with Rajoguna and ends in Tamoguna. One man in Bombay, you know, his wife always used to, you know, put less salt in the food. And he used to tell her, why didn't you put proper salt? So one day he came, He told his wife that, you know, today again the salt is less than the dal and sabji. You know, she said, I have kept a salt bottle nearby. Why don't you take it and serve yourself? He became so angry, he picked her up and threw her out of the window. She fractured her leg. Yeah, it came in the newspaper. He said, at least now you will learn a lesson. So anger can do anything to us. Anger can make us so mad. How many of you agree that when we become extremely angry, we may forget what we are speaking? Correct, no? Yeah, at least speaking we can do, correct, no? So this fellow got into action mode. So one goes from Rajoguna to Tamoguna, destroying mode. So therefore, you will find that the Bhagavatam is amazing with, like for example, Priyavrat Maharaj was told, give up your renunciation in the Manda Gandhamadana Parvat and come to take up the rule. Correct, no? And Dhritarashtra was told, give up your rule and go to forest. Correct, no? And Arjuna was told, Arjuna, take up the Gandiva bow and fight the battle. And Dhruva Maharaj was told, Dhruva Maharaj, keep the bow down, relax. Correct, no? So somebody is told to take responsibility, somebody is told to give up responsibility. According to the situation in which they may be in. Correct, no? Like we have to tell our PAs, please relax, allow the PL to do. PL is an actor, project leader is an actor, and project advisor is a advice giver. Sometimes the roles get reversed. Project leader is standing from the side and watching, and the project advisor gets into doing all the activity himself. Now I'll show you, I will roll up my sleeves. He gets in. And the leader is wondering, sometimes I get a letter from a leader saying that, Pauji, mera kya kaam hai udhar? What is my work? My leader is so expert that he does from the top to bottom, everything he only does. Understand? So, therefore Bhagavatam has different instructions for different people at different stages. Correct, no? But this point I think everybody has captured, I think. Correct, no? If we try to counteract destiny, our mind will enter into darkness and more tamoguna we will suffer. We will become depressed. People become depressed. If Dhruva Maharaj became covered over by that all the arrows of the enemies, Yakshas, he was becoming covered over, like a sun covered by clouds, it is said. Then the sages told him to chant the Narayan mantra and brought him out of that. So, here Prithu Maharaj was told by Brahma this very vital point which we read just now, 34th verse. Let's go to 35. May I read the 35th verse? Translation.
Lord Brahma continued, stop the performance of these sacrifices, for they have induced Indra to introduce so many religious aspects. You should know very well that even amongst the demigods, there are many unwanted desires.
See, Brahma is so intelligent. He anticipates some questions from Prithu. Prithu is looking at Brahma and Brahma knows what question he is going to ask. What question is likely to ask? Can't you stop Indra from stealing my horse so that I can complete my yajna? And then Brahma may say, but he may be afraid that you will become Shatakratu. Yes, I'll become Shatakratu and I'll go to spiritual world. I will not go to heavenly planets. These kind of arguments, who is likely to do? Prithu. Therefore, Brahma is telling here, you should know very well that even amongst demigods, there are many unwanted desires, he is saying. Yeah. Like that he is saying. See, Prabhupada writes there, read the purport, short purport, very nice purport.
There are many competitors in ordinary business affairs, and the Karmakanda chapters of the Vedas sometimes cause competition and envy amongst karmis. A karmi must be envious because he wishes to enjoy material pleasures to their fullest extent. That is the material disease.
Yeah, like in Pune, for example, we have this Ganapati Bappa Moriya, you know. Like one politician, you know, he makes one big Ganesh. Then another politician of another party, he makes a huge Ganesh. So big, taking in a truck, a lorry. And then they say, the biggest Ganesh in Pune was our party's Ganesh. So, what Ganesh Bhakti they have, only Ganesh knows. You know? But there, Dahi Handi also. Nowadays, the 2 lakh rupees first prize, 1 lakh rupees second prize, 50,000 third prize. You've seen that? And many boys climb up and some people fall and break their leg, head and all that. It happens like that. So, these kind of programs, do you think there is any substance of spirituality in it? Any essence of spirituality in it? So this is actually called as yajante na, no, there is one verse, dambena avidhi purvakam. What is that verse? Yajante nama yajnyaste dambena avidhi purvakam. He says dambena. Damba means what? To show how big party we are. Huh? So we have made the biggest murti of Ganesh and this kind of things. Show off. Huh? It's actually a show off religion. It is not a real religion. Huh? You know, God doesn't expect us to show off to anybody. We have to genuinely present ourselves in front of His lotus feet. Huh? Actually, He has to recognize our devotion. And nobody in the world have to give a certificate for our devotion. Only one person has to give a certificate for our devotion, and that person is very difficult to please. It's Krishna only. It's not very easy to please. See, recently I came to know one amazing fact. Hari, Guru, Vaishnava, we say, no? Actually, how difficult Krishna is to please. If you see, first you have to please Vaishnavas. If Vaishnavas are pleased with you, they will go and tell Guruji that now this fellow is a very good fellow now. He is cooperating with everybody and he is also good-natured now. We are happy with him. When people whom you are serving, they become happy with you, and they go and give a report to your Guru, then who becomes happy? Guru becomes happy. When Guru is happy, yasya prasadat, this is the way you can make Krishna happy. Is it easy? How many of you think it's little difficult you feel? Correct? Not little, too much difficult. Not very. So, although we say we have to please Hari Guru Vaishnava, we have to find out how we can please the Vaishnavas. Where are we displeasing the Vaishnavas? We have to see. And then work on it. If certain behaviors of ours is displeasing, then we have to change it. So then Guru is pleased, then Krishna is pleased like this. So if Krishna is pleased, then your job is accomplished. Nothing more to gain. Therefore, I told you, ultimately, Krishna, when He is pleased with us, you know, there is nothing more to be achieved in this world. We don't have to impress anyone else. But here in this world, people who have material desires, they are all competitors in ordinary business affairs, He says. Yeah. And then Prabhupada writes below, Lord Brahma's purpose was to end the competition between Lord Indra and Maharaj Prithu. Say, for example, you are a HOD of one department. And in your department, you have two highly talented heroic devotees. And both are like lions. They are very powerful. And you want to develop your department, and both the fellows are in a showing off mode to one another, who is bigger? So you are seeing that your department is suffering because most of the time these two fellows are fighting. And you see that the department is not progressing. Then what you will do? Generally what HODs do, they give them two different areas to work in the same department. Correct? Now you can do this, you can do this. And then even after doing in their own area also, they will see, this fellow will say that, you know, to him, see, I have done this much. And that fellow will say, I have done this much. They'll be screaming from a distance also sometimes. So the person at the top has a very good understanding that if these two fellows cooperate, our department can do 10 times more. You understand now? That's what Brahma is feeling. Brahma's goal is Brahminical culture. He wants to achieve. And in his department, there are two fellows. Who? Indra and Prithu. Prithu is the earthly king. Indra is the heavenly king. If both of them don't quarrel, they both cooperate, then Brahminical culture can be enhanced all over the world. How? Prithu can perform yajnas like he is performing, and all the people can get all their prosperity, necessities, everything. And Indra and demigods, they can supply the necessities for all the living beings. So there should be a, Prabhupada says in the third chapter, 9, 10, 11 verses, Bhagavad Gita, there is a cooperation between the living entities and the nature, demigods and the Supreme Lord. So here the cooperation was getting spoiled. Between whom? Demigods and humans. Correct, no? That cooperation is very important. Humans should offer yajna and demigods should devan bhavetanena te deva bhavayantuha parasparam bhavayanta. Correct, no? They should mutually nourish one another. Like that. But here Brahma is very hurt. Brahma is wondering that if these two guys are fighting, you know, the Brahminical culture will be destroyed and all the asuras will become very mighty and powerful. And the asuras will not perform yajna, just like Vena came before. That kind of people will come and they will spoil the whole world. So therefore Prabhupada says here, Brahma's purpose was to end the competition between Lord Indra and Maharaj Prithu. Like you know the story of the spiritual master who saw the two disciples massaging his feet. So one disciple told the other disciple, "Hey, do you know, I have earned a degree in massaging." I got a postgraduate degree in massaging. Another fellow said, it's useless to have your degree. You know, what is the use of your degree? You only know theory. I know practical. I am doing for the last 10 years, he said. Then the other fellow said, you may be doing 10 years, but yours is thumb rule. But mine is professional knowledge I have, how to massage Guruji's feet. He said, this fellow said, so you think you are massaging better? He pinched that leg of the Guru, right leg of the Guru. And this fellow, hey, you pinched my leg which I am serving? So he pinched the other leg. And Guru jumped up. Guru, hey, what are you doing, you guys? You are, both of you are killing me. So, in the same manner, many times we may not know how by our misbehavior, misconduct, we may be bringing anxiety and dissatisfaction for our superiors because of our non-mutual cooperation or because of fight, just like here Indra and Prithu are undergoing it. Because Maharaj Prithu was a great devotee and incarnation of God, he was requested to stop the sacrifices so that Indra might not further introduce irreligious systems which are always followed by criminal-minded people. Generally, a Vaishnava should not be stubborn unless the other party is a deviant or heretic or something. A Vaishnava should not be unnecessarily stubborn. We should be flexible. You have seen people who do this, what do you call it, gymnastics, aerobics, how they have flexible body. So similarly, we need a flexible mind like that. We should not be like a brittle glass. You put it down, clang, it's broken. So Vaishnava is generally not stubborn. All over the scriptures you will find Vaishnavas are bendable, flexible, adaptable. As long as the other party is not a deviant or is not a Mayavad or something like that. Otherwise, most of the problems we deal with, the other side devotees are also devotees. The people with whom you may have a problem, they are also devotees, they are entering service. One can always bend oneself and go on. And you know, when two hands come, there is sound. When one hand comes, one hand goes, what happens? There's no sound. But what other people will tell you, hey, you gave it up. What is this? So tomorrow defeat ho gaya. Then you say, no, I didn't give it up. I'll come back again. And you may fight again. Correct, no? But actually, one should know that the tolerant party attracts Krishna's grace. You will see, in Ambarishan Durvasamani, who was the tolerant party? Ambarish. So Vishnu was on his side. In Prahalada and Hiranyakashipu, who was a tolerant party? Prahalada. So Lord was on Prahalada's side, you will see. Lord says that in one place in scripture. So whichever party is willing to bend and be tolerant, that Lord will occupy that party. They will go. Because tolerance is greatly appreciated by the Lord. Here, out of the two, Indra and Prithu, who is tolerant party? Prithu. Therefore, Lord Vishnu is on his side. So you will see that. So in this way, and also some of may have a question. Prabhu, how much can we tolerate Prabhu? Now, some people may have a question. That is all right. If superiors are telling us to tolerate something, that means that is an instruction for us. One should tolerate. Correct, no? Adjust karke chalo. If they say like that. So this, literally you can take that instruction. Adjust karke chalo. Literally you can take it. You should not ask how much to adjust. Why should I adjust? Why not he adjust? No questions. And that's what Prithu did. He faithfully followed. Read the this thing, the theme.
A superior vision is to end the unhealthy competition for universal welfare.
So superior has the long-term goal in mind, which is the welfare of all living beings. They can see it's the welfare of all living beings. So this requires a very broad vision, like Brahmaji has. Brahmaji is very, very amazing. Brahmaji's quality, you see. See, Brahma's management in this pastime is in mode of goodness. How it's in mode of goodness, if you see, he is not attached to punishing Indra. He is not joining the side of Prithu and saying, yes, you should finish this fellow. You know, he is doing notorious naughty activities. We should finish him. He doesn't say that. Yeah. At the same time, he is not sitting in Satyaloka, escaping the problem. He is not thinking, are two bada parties are having fight? I better relax. Even none of them are going to hear my good instruction. So let both of them kill one another and die. He's not thinking like that. He's willing to go to the spot, sort out the problem. And also he is ultimately bringing the best out of everyone. Prithu Maharaj exhibited noble qualities. And Indra also became noble by offering obeisances to Prithu, you know, subsequently. So, on the other hand, you can see, in this pastime, Brahma acted in goodness. But in another pastime, Brahma acted in passion. You know when? When did Brahma become angry? When four Kumaras were born, he wanted them to get married and expand the population. So Kumara said, no, you want to be Nashtika Brahmachari, they said. And Brahma became very angry. So there, one place Prabhupada says that the Kumaras were meant to liberate people from this world to send them to spiritual world. And Brahma wanted to populate the world. So both their purposes are accomplished. You know, so Brahma can populate the world through somebody else and Kumaras can liberate. Eventually everybody has to get liberated, no, to go back to Godhead. So Brahma could not see that his sons Kumaras also have a role to play in his creation, and that role is to liberate all the living entities. He could not see. He became too much, you know, concerned about the immediate problem. What was his immediate problem? Population creation. What is the later problem? Liberation. So he has to give the Vedas in the parampara, and then people have to hear lectures, practice bhakti, everything, and then they have to get liberated. But his sons are already giving the end result. Why should he be angry with them? Because he was concerned about immediate problem. So here is one clue for us. When we become angry, oftentimes we don't see a larger picture. We take a small immediate problem and we get wild that this is not happening. So therefore, in that case, Brahma became passionate. Whereas in Prithu's case, Brahma was in goodness while sorting out the problem very successfully, maturely. Yeah, read the 36th translation.
Just see how Indra, the king of heaven, was creating a disturbance in the midst of the sacrifice by stealing the sacrificial horse. This attractive sinful activities he has introduced will be carried out by the people in general.
Read the theme.
Wrong trends will ruin religion for generations.
Yes, you can give the mic.
How before Brahmaji came, Prithu could have ideally dealt with Indra.
Prithu was trying to take his bow and arrow and attack Indra, because Prithu only saw one thing, that I have to complete my yajna. That's my immediate concern. And the larger concern is, how the world, the whole world can benefit. You know, there can be large scale welfare. So his idea was what? I will finish this Indra and I'll complete my 100th yajna and Lord Vishnu will descend and everything will be very wonderful. That was the idea of Prithu. So Prithu became concerned about the immediate problem. So he could not get sight of the larger picture of welfare of the whole world at that time.
Ideally,
in case Prithu was to deal with this situation himself, he could have called Indra for a meeting. He could have made Indra sit. Tell Indra that, please don't run away with the horse. Let us have a dialogue. Why do you run like this? Tell me, why are you taking the horse? If you tell me don't do this yajna, I will not do. You want me not to do it? Indra will say yes. Why? He will say. And Indra, likely that Indra may say that, I am already there. I am taking care of everything, in the heavenly planets. I don't expect you to come there. Then Prithu may say that, no, I am not aiming at heaven. I am going to spiritual sky, I am not interested in enjoying the pleasures of heaven. But I am just doing it for the sake of completing the 100. But Indra may say, but I just don't want you to complete. Because you may not want to become Indra, but Supreme Lord Vishnu sometimes may catch you and put you there and drive me out. That's a possibility. So I am little worried. Although I have trust in you are a good soul. You don't want to be Indra, but Lord once told, what is his name, Nahusha, or to become Indra. Suddenly there was a vacancy. Correct, no? And also Indra may say, I have a habit of committing little blunders here and there. Lord may fire me out of my post and may put you. And Prithu may say, oh, that is quite possible. If Lord Vishnu tells me to take up Indraship, I will have to accept. Therefore, you should not do the 100th yajna. And Prithu will say, okay, I understood. Okay, I will do only 99. If Prithu were to sort this out himself. But Prithu was in no mood to sort out. he was in a mood to finish. How many of you, if you have taken a project, sometimes our eyes are like this on the project, like this. Like this, you see, no? We don't see anything around. Honestly, tell me. How many feel that? Correct, no? You can see that, yeah. So, right now, his project was what? Complete the Yajna. Who is Indra, Chandra, whoever comes, hey, but it may finish it. Allow me to complete this, you know. Whole attention on his project only. Correct, no? Therefore, Brahma had to come. You see? So, actually, if Prithu did it himself, you know, we would have lost one very valuable lesson in this. If Prithu dealt with himself, we may say Prithu is very mature, very wonderful, sabash, we may say that. Yeah? And then tomorrow we may think, I will also sort out all problems myself only. Therefore, this pastime teaches us to obedience to superior. Not only obedience to superior, obedience to a superior who is below Vishnu also. Huh? Not that Vishnu himself has to come running with four hands with Shankha Chakra, hey Prithu, Prithu, wait. Huh? No, before Vishnu, there is Brahma also. When Brahma told him to stop, that time only he stopped. But you will find Vishnu comes to give little more convincing points to Prithu. Even more deeper points Vishnu will say. Because Vishnu doesn't leave this matter there. He doesn't tell Prithu, Prithu, I think Brahma only could convince you, so I will not talk about it. No, Prithu, you also talked. Why? So very, very good points Vishnu tells him. So in this way, in this pastime teaches us obedience to superiors. Correct, no? Obedience to Brahma, who is the chief of the universe, and obedience to Supreme Lord Vishnu. For that pleasure, he gave up. That's a very one of the vital lessons of the pastime. Correct, no?
Yeah.
Read the lesson. And the wrong trends will ruin religion for generations. Oh, this is a very important thing. In Ramayana, there is one pastime. Once one Shudra was standing upside down in some kind of tree or something like that, and performing a very severe tapasya. He had told all his bogus followers that I will do severe tapasya and I will take the Vedic message and I will study on my own and I will teach it or something like that. So when Lord Rama was approached by some brahmanas and reported about this, Shudra is doing like this, he killed that Shudra. So sometimes people will ask you this question, how can Rama kill Shudra just because he is of lower caste? This is a big question, many in India, wherever you go, people may ask you, just because some brahmanas complained to him. So the answer is given, Lord Rama was a king, and a king is supposed to set an ideal standard all over the country. And he saw that this Shudra is a prospective heretic, a deviant, who will misuse the Shastra. It's like giving a monkey a garland. And the monkey will tear it to pieces. So he could foresee a future problem. Who? Lord Ram. And therefore he finished him, because the Shudra was very determined to ruin the world. So even before he can ruin the world, Lord finished him. So one thing we all should know, when a senior devotee sets a trend, you know, one of our worries is about the safety of the devotee. The very safety of that devotee, because he's setting a wrong trend. But a greater worry is, there are so many people who are going to imitate that wrong role model. Correct, no? And therefore Krishna says in that verse, you know, Utsi de yurime loka, that in those series of verses, he says, Name parthasti kartavyam, trishu lokeshu kinchana, nana vaptama vaptavyam. Like that he says that, actually Arjuna, I have no duty to do in this entire world. I am scot-free. You know, even in spiritual world, I just enjoy pastimes. There is no work for me. Na tasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, he says, you know. But when I come to this world, Krishna says, I do a lot of work. Like I become a king in Dwaraka, I report to our Ugrasena, and I marry also, and I have children. And in Dwaraka, every morning I rise in the morning and do yajna and give charity to the Brahmins. All that I do. Why? There is one full chapter called Lord Krishna's daily activities. Why I do those activities? To set a trend for the other householders, grihastha people. So grihastha devotees should see my lifestyle and they should follow me as I do in Dwaraka. Similarly, he is quoting the example of his father-in-law. Who is Lord's father-in-law? Karmanai bahi samsiddhim astito janakadayah. Janaka is father-in-law of Rama. Correct, no? So he is telling, Janaka Adeha, not only Janaka, Janaka Adeha means many, many kings. They were all Mukta Purushas, liberated souls. But they still became the king to rule the world, to teach the other kings how to rule in a Krishna conscious way. Therefore, Ambarish Maharaj ruling, is he attached to kingdom? He is not attached. Yudhishthira Maharaj is ruling. His whole mind was always with Krishna only. And his brothers were ruling the whole world. He was not taking any taste in ruling. But he still ruled on the order of Krishna. These are all good trends. Who set good trend? Ambarish had a good trend. Yudhishthira Maharaj set a good trend. Parikshit set a good trend. As soon as he saw Kali, immediately he took his sword and was about to cut the head of Kali. So Parikshit is setting an example of how the Kali should be removed. So there are people who said good trend, there are people who said bad trend. Now Indra is doing what trend? Very bad trend he is. Similarly, like 2 days ago I saw some devotees were dancing and catching the hand at the top like this. Two hands are catching, people are going below that. Correct now? You saw that? In our dancing kirtan. Sometimes they do. I have seen sometimes in Pune Yatra or sometimes in some other Prerana program, people do that. But Brahmachari should not encourage this. Because there are some devotees like Devakinanda Prabhu was telling that new trends are coming in dancing in ISKCON. So what the Ritviks have done, the Ritviks have clicked a photo of a video in some ISKCON temple somewhere where people are doing gymnastics and the surrounding devotees are watching. You understand, no? A big group of devotees are watching and that fellow is keeping the hand and rotating with his body like this, doing all that on the ground, moving, and Sastar and all is doing. And everybody's attention is there, nobody is singing. So they have taken this video clip and put in the net and saying, see, will Prabhupada be happy with this dancing, like that they have asked. Of course, none of us are happy also. Not only Prabhupada is unhappy, we are also unhappy, but somebody has to correct them. Correct, no? Otherwise, one fellow does ask, another person says, I will also show another one. And then he is going from Radhakrishna deities to Prabhupada, he is going on Sasar. Then everybody will start doing different things. So we should stop the wrong trends. Correct, no? Similarly, now there is another big talk going on in ISKCON. The kirtaniyars keeping hair, long hair. Now, if you see, Madhava Prabhu is a very wonderful devotee, pure-hearted soul. He comes from a certain country. You know, they have certain type of hair, and long hair they have tied. But then after seeing him, there are many other people who are imitating, you know. And then many, many people want to keep mustache also, French beard also, little long hair also and do kirtan. Very stylishly, they want to appear stylish while doing kirtan. Because they know we will come in the video. Actually, kirtan is not for any stylishness. Kirtan is only for pleasure of the Lord. Sent for the Lord's pleasure. So these are wrong trends. So recently they are making new policies nowadays in ISKCON. There's a big talk going on. Devotees come in. Similarly, Mataji is coming to temple. Sometimes, you know, in one of the temples they were saying the kind of dress they wear is awkward dress, improper, some grown-up Mataji is wearing some gopi dress. Like the gopis take their cloth and put it here, no? Like this, and full blouses. So some of them had dressed like that and come very grown up, Mataji, 30-year-old. And it was looking very awkward because many parts of their body are exposed. So it has come to the top level management. They are discussing. And that too, they are initiated devotees. Some are second initiated devotees. They dress like a gopi and they come to temple. And they unnecessarily attract the attention of people. Everybody is supposed to take Lord's darshan, not their darshan. Correct, no? So in this way, the wrong trends have to be avoided. Because the more we become senior, the more we set trends. New trends we set. And then our trends will be copied by people. People exactly will do whatever you are doing. Most people will not hear what you say. They will watch you, how you do. And they will simply copy you, you know, what you do. So, another good trend I will tell you. Good trend is, you know, rising early in the morning, coming for Mangala Arati, dancing, singing, chanting with devotees. You set a good trend and go, many will copy that also. Of course, not too many copy that. Wrong trends they copy very fast. Isn't it? So, but Krishna talks about good trend in Janaka Maharaj. And he himself is setting a good trend. So Indra is setting a wrong trend. That was the point. We have exceeded the time. Shri Prabhupada ki.